Welcome to Revive Her, a transformative space where we break down walls to unearth the incredible power that lies within every woman. We're your hosts, Haley and Noel.
Dive into candid conversations about entrepreneurship, faith, and relationships, and the journeys that define us. Are you ready?
Welcome back, Revivers. We're going to go where most pastors don't today.
Oh, goodness.
Today, we're going to talk about sin and how it consumes us. And I just feel like we're such a feel-good society with church these days. Mm-hmm. And it's just all about love and mercy and grace, yeah. Which is, we need to hear that. There's so much brokenness and so many people that feel like abandonment and rejection. Like, we need that. But like, y'all, we have become complacent with sin as a society. And
yeah, I feel like a lot of times church has become like tickling your ears versus stepping on your toes.
Yeah.
And we need to get back to stepping on some toes.
Right. Yeah. I hope we step on toes today because I mean, like, even when I open TikTok, like, the sin is just so normalized in like what we consume and interact with as a society. And it's just, honestly, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
So of course, sin has a really funny way of dressing up like freedom and living your life to the fullest, all about self-pleasure, you do you, boo, until you try to stop. Yeah. Sin looks like freedom until you try to stop. Is that not a powerful statement?
Yes, that is very powerful.
So let me bring you into an example that like really brings that statement alive. And you know, it's not the best example, but it gets the job done, okay? Okay, so imagine that you get on a bus, you pay your fare, you sit down, you put your AirPods in, you're relaxing, you're listening to a podcast, like whatever it is. The ride is smooth. You're just chilling, waiting to get to your stop. You're getting what you want. You're feeding your flesh. Maybe it's attention. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's control, power, gossip, whatever it is. And at first it feels good, right? Sin always feels so good when you first do it, right? We can be honest here. Like, when have you sinned?
Yeah.
Like, when you sin, like, it feels good.
Yeah. It's addicting.
Yeah. It always feels good at first. And you're nodding. You're like, yes, this is what I needed. I'm finally in control. Like, I'm living my life to the fullest. Like, I'm doing me. All the things that we tell ourselves to justify it, right? Then it happens. You reach your destination. You're ready to get off the bus. You got to where you needed to go, which I'm saying the buzz wore off. The relationship broke you. You're now addicted to drugs and you can't stop. Yeah. The lie caught up to you. Shame's consumed you. Like, whatever it is, that pleasurable season of sin has worn off. You're at your destination. You're ready to get the heck off the bus. But the bus driver keeps going. He doesn't let you off. And you're like pulling the lever, the little bell thing. You know, you stand up, you're yelling like, hey, you passed my stop. Like, let me off right here. Like, I was supposed to get off back there. But the bus keeps driving. That's what sin does to us. I can see the bus driver, which is Satan, turns around and is like, you paid me to get on here and I'm not letting you off. Sin takes you further than you ever wanted to go.
Dang.
Right?
I'm just sitting here like, dang, how many times in my life have I been on that bus? Like, I even think back to seasons where I was reliant on alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about this a little bit, but when I think of the sin in my life, we're all sinners, right? Mm-hmm. We all fall short, but it's like the sin that changed like the trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those big ones where I'm thinking of, and I think a lot of people struggle with this, just alcohol and how I was convinced that if I wasn't drunk, I wasn't fun. Like, people weren't going to like me. I wasn't going to have a good time. And it was just like that. Like, it took me further than I ever wanted to go. I was surrounded by people I should have never been surrounded by. Well, looking back now, I got on the bus. Like, I put myself in that situation over and over and over. And it always cost more than we thought we would pay. And it always stays longer than we meant to let it stay.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the times we dance around it. There's this ledge and we go right up to the ledge. And we're like, we know the once we're off the ledge, we're in full-fledged sin. We know it's a transgression. We know it's against God's word. We know it's wrong. So we just dance along the ledge for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then the longer you're on the ledge, the less dangerous it feels.
Yeah.
And then the more you want to know, like, what's down there off the ledge? Like, that doesn't seem like too big of a jump. So the longer like we're on the ledge staring down at the full-fledged sin, we justify it more. And then eventually we step off that ledge and we get down there and we're like, whoa, this is beautiful. This is lush. Like I think of the Garden of Eden, all this fruit, like all of this stuff, like this looks incredible. Like, why was I ever scared of this? This isn't bad. Like this feels so good.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like for a lot of us, that's how we get entangled in sin is we play with fire and then we don't get burned at first. I would love lighting sticks on fire as a kid and just like playing with it. Yes. And that's what we do with sin. And then we get wrapped up in it. And like I said, at first, it just feels incredible. You don't have consequences at first. A lot of times, sometimes you do. And then you're like, oh, see, like nothing bad's happening. I'm hanging out with these people or I'm drinking or I'm doing drugs and it feels incredible. Or, you know, I'm cheating on my spouse and like, they're never going to find out. It feels so good. Like whatever it is, but it always catches up to you.
Yes.
It feels pleasurable for a season and then it turns on you. You thought you could control it. You thought you could hop off before it got too deep, but now you're stuck in something that won't let you go. And it will mark my words, it will happen that way every single time.
Yeah.
And that's not my word. That's God's word.
Yeah. And we never talk about it. I feel like pastors shy away from messages on sin. And even your friends, like they show support by never correcting each other.
Yes.
And then the media also is all about self-pleasure. And we just never call out sin anymore.
You see videos, it's like girlfriends will ask you like where to bury the body or like help you bury the body. It's like, no, a real friend will talk you into turning yourself into the police and walk you down that really hard path right by your side holding your hand. Like a real friend will not let you fall into sin, will not tell you that your sin is okay. I mean, how many times, like I know that I've probably failed as a friend like that. Like I can't think of an instance right now, but I know that I've probably should have called people out on things that I shouldn't have because you fear being like, oh my gosh, you're so righteous and you're so holy. You think you're this, or you don't want to make them feel bad, or you're afraid to come across like that type of Christian. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think for me, one of the things that holds me back in that is my own sin.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you think I can't call somebody out on their sin. Like I'm sinning too, or like I'm doing this. But I do think we need people to hold us accountable in it.
There's a scripture in Matthew that says, if your brother or your sister sin, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's in Matthew 18. It is biblical. And I think we fear judgment, or like, you know, the verse about, you know, the plank in your eye, like the speck, you're looking at the speck in someone else's, but you have a freaking plank in your own.
Yeah.
Like that is true, but like it's also true and biblical to lovingly call out your brother on their sin. Because like if we just watch people continue in their sin and we do nothing, like I feel like that makes us liable. I feel like that we're accessories to letting them go down this path. And so there's a fine balance of being that friend and like calling them out, but true friends will not let you stay in your sin.
Yeah. And I think that it's okay. This is something I have to learn myself. It's okay to call it out when your heart is postured. Mm-hmm. Like it's okay to say, hey, this is wrong when your heart is postured. I actually had this situation recently where one of my close friends was, I work on social media. I think everyone knows that by now, but they were just on their stories and they were absolutely calling out sin, but it was in a way that was like incriminating, and it was in a way that
condemning.
Yes. And it just did not align with scripture. And I scrolled over it, and then it just, like, I just felt like God was like, you can't let this go.
Yeah.
Like you know, this is wrong. And at some point, like you have to understand it's okay to call it out. And so I did, it did not go over well at all. Of course,
and people don't like being called out on stuff. Yeah. So of course,
even if you're loving and even if you say it, but that creates trauma within me of like, I'm never doing that again. Like, Lord, don't call me to do that again. You know, but I do think that down the road, there will come a time when maybe she sits and thinks like, that was probably really wrong.
Yeah. And I think you always need to pray about it before you do it. Like, Lord, should I say something to this person?
Yes.
How do I say something to this person if you're leading me to do that? I don't think it should ever come from us. I think it should be the Lord prompting us to confront this person. But no one wakes up and says, I'd like to ruin my peace today. Like, I think I just want to ruin my life today. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
We'd never sin if we really thought the consequences of that sin would catch up to us. No one would ever sin if we thought it would catch up to us. We just take the enemy's bait. Like I said, we teeter on the edge. We dabble. We see that like nothing bad happened on this one. And like, he shows up with choices and with shiny objects and with sin dressed up as freedom. That's like the biggest thing I see and hear people talk about. And that was my thing is, you know, I grew up Christian, a goody two shoes. I was like so made fun of for being such a square. And, you know, after a while, like you get curious, you just want to experience life that you see online or like you want to experience new things, even though you know, like you really shouldn't go down that route. And like, you just get curious. There's those shiny objects and you think, well, it won't be that bad or whatever. Like it's dressed up as like you living life and you experience life sometimes. That's how it was for me. But what kind of freedom keeps you silent? What kind of freedom leaves you with shame? Yeah. What kind of freedom drags you deeper when you try to walk away? And what kind of freedom doesn't align with God's word?
Yeah, I think I've always heard that the devil doesn't show up with a pitchfork. Like he shows up dressed up as everything you've ever wanted. Yeah. And I have seen this in my own life of the enemy coming at me and tempting me with things I've always wanted. Exactly. And I have fell into it. I think a lot of times this is something that I've seen happen is we'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm in spiritual warfare. Or oh my gosh, like the devil is just after me. But really it's just a consequence of our sin. Mm-hmm. And I think that as Christians, we do need to realize that like, yes, a lot of what we go through is spiritual. Absolutely. But not all of it is spiritual warfare. Typically it's just consequences of our own actions. And so that's been really hard for me to accept as like, okay, this isn't spiritual warfare. Like this is just a consequence of my sin, of me sinning.
Yeah. And it's not ever worth it, but you don't find that out until it's too late.
Right.
And it's always going to happen. But even though the enemy will not let you off, God still can. Yeah. And he absolutely will. He doesn't wait for you to have it all together. He will meet you on that bus. If you want off the bus, you got to ask God. Like you're pulling the lever, you're begging the enemy, the bus driver, to let you off, and they're absolutely not going to let you go. But you call out to the Lord and he's going to stop that bus. He is going to help you get off in your mess, in your addiction, in the affair, in the secret. And he says, I paid a higher price than you did. You don't belong on that route anymore. You never belonged on that route to begin with. And you don't have to ride this bus for another second. Where have you confused sin for freedom? Where are you sitting on a bus that's not going where you thought? Where are you saying, let me off, but you feel like you can't? I mean, I'm asking you those questions right now. Like, can you think of your current life? Are you in sin in any point of your life? Who's beside you in that sin? Like what friends are walking with you on this path? And after hearing this, you're like, maybe I should let that relationship go because they're dragging me deeper into sin. Yeah. Or, you know, maybe we've talked about this before. We don't believe alcohol is a sin, but we do believe drunkenness is a sin. Scripturally, it calls out drunkenness as a sin. Like that is scripture. That's not our opinion. That is scripture. Yeah. Now, other, you know, there's people that debate like whether all alcohol is a sin. That's something you have to work out for yourself. I have the conviction that I don't really think drinking in general is a sin. I just don't partake because I don't want to. But like maybe that's it for you. Like maybe you're drinking more when you go out and like it's leading you to make poor choices and flirt with people who aren't your spouse. You know what I mean? Like it's just a slippery slope. Where are you sinning that you have just been a little complacent?
Yeah. And listen, sin isn't always lying or gossiping or like doing these terrible things. Like something that me and even Drew have had to come to the realization is like debt. And this is like something that we've really had to pray about. We've had to work through. And we just had a conversation 2 days ago where we're like, okay, like we are getting out of debt. Whatever it takes, we're going to get out of debt. And I think that that's a sin, right? Mm-hmm. Like it talks about in scripture, like owing people and all of this. And while I do believe your home, it's okay to have a house payment. Right. Like certain things like that are fine. But when you have crippling debt where it's like, man, I can't quit my job or man, we can't do this. Yeah. It's like, okay, what are we going to do together? And we had this hard conversation where it was like, this is a consequence of our sin. This is a consequence of our own actions. But now what are we going to do to make it better? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we made a plan and we're like, okay, we're sticking to this plan. And so sin doesn't always have to be drinking and cussing and having sex or like cheating on your spouse. Like, it can be something as simple as like overeating or like, you know, like spending too much money. Mm-hmm. And I think something that Drew and I have always done is like having money, right? So like the money's always there. So spend it. Who cares, right? Yeah. But being conscious of those things, being conscious of, okay, what am I eating? What am I putting into my body? What am I addicted to? This is so silly, but I'm just going to call myself out. I had a habit of going to Starbucks or like stopping and getting a coffee every single day. Mm-hmm. Like literally, if I was leaving the house, I was going to get a little drinky drink. Mm-hmm. It become a habit, but it also become one of those things. I was like, why do I even do this?
Yeah.
Not that that was a sin getting a coffee, you know, but
we're just talking about conviction. Like, yeah, what are you? Yeah.
Yeah. And I was convicted over that. Like, I'm going to give it up. Now I'll get a coffee. Like, I got a coffee today. I hadn't gotten one in probably a month and a half. So it's just like finding those little things. It's not always bad, bad, bad. Like sometimes it's in your daily actions, your habits, your routine, those things add up. And that's what we're talking about. Like being on that bus where it's like, maybe you don't even realize that that's a sin or that has a hold on you, or that's opening a gateway for something else to come in.
Yeah. I mean, it could be as small as leaving nasty TikTok comments. Y'all, the comment section on TikTok is like brutal.
Yeah.
And I saw, this is such a pet peeve of mine too, because I just don't partake in this. And like, I don't think it's right for Christians to partake in this. But on Facebook, there is a lady that I went to church with, or I currently go to church with her. And she would just share Facebook posts of people's arrests in the town and just things like that.
Drama.
And then she would like make comments, pretty, in my opinion, nasty comments about the person or just the situation, which would then cause, you know, 100 comment thread
of
people. Yeah.
A web of
sin. I ended up unfriending her because it bothered me so much. I'm like, to me, it crossed the line into gossip. It crossed the line into condemnation. And I'm like, sure, maybe this person did drugs, or maybe this person stole a car, or whatever the thing was about. Yeah. But it's like, you don't know that person's story. Like, not making excuses, mistakes are mistakes, being illegal and sinning is whatever. But it's like, you don't know that person's story. You're bringing so much approach and gossip and condemnation on them. And you're supposed to be the very one that loves that person.
Yeah.
The very one that stands up for that person, because you're supposed to show the love of Christ. So like, to me, that crosses in the line into sin and how God tells us not to treat people. And so like, I ended up unfriending that person and anybody that does that stuff, because like, it hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like to see it. And then I found myself like having like bad thoughts towards that person. Yeah. Judgy. Like it is. Yeah. I'm calling out my sin right now. Is like, you really call yourself a Christian and you're fostering this kind of hate towards someone, like, and then I'm like, okay, Lord, now I'm sinning because like I'm being judgmental and like I'm having these bad thoughts. We all fall into all of these things. My point is backing up what you said. I love, like, we only talk about like the big things and there's just so many little things, like borrowing $5 from the company or something, like might not seem like too much, but did you tell your boss that you were borrowing $5 from the company?
Right.
Did you take a bunch of stuff home from the company that you shouldn't have taken home because it's not a big deal? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many little teeny tiny things that then lead to more. Like, it's always, you start out dabbling, like I said earlier, and you will continue to take more and more, do more and more. It's just how it happens.
Absolutely.
So we leave you with this, guys. We encourage you to pray. We sin. You sin. We all sin. Like, our righteousness is like filthy rags. Like, none of us is good. The only good in us is Jesus himself. But we really have to start looking inward and calling out our own sin. And God, search me, O Lord, search my heart. Show me sin. Like, sometimes I think we sin and we don't even realize we're sinning too.
Absolutely.
That's a huge thing. We do things that we may not realize it's a sin. So it's like, God, search my heart and tell me, like, where am I sinning? What do I need to give up? Maybe you don't want to stop sinning. That's another thing that I want to hit on before we leave you guys, is sometimes you don't want to stop sinning because it feels good and because you're gaining so much from whatever that situation is. And you're like, I'll stop sinning later. Like, I know I'm transgressing. I've done that. Like, I know I've been in sin before and I haven't wanted to stop sinning because it felt good, because there was so much benefit, what I thought was benefit happening. And then I got to the point where I was like, oh crap, I've gone too far.
Yeah.
Ask him to show you if you're in that point of like, where you're sinning, but you don't want to stop. Ask him, Lord, like, let me have your heart, convict me, because I'm telling you, you want to get out of that sin before it gets you, before you can't get off that bus.
Absolutely. So we want to invite you to revive your spirit by meditating on this scripture. It's John 8:34-36. It says, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed."
Shoo-wee. Catch you later.
If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to rate the show, follow us on Instagram, leave a review on Apple, and check out our website, reviveherpodcast.com.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.